Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Generations of Service, a reading from the RSL magazine Rivoli from this month. And this is a story by Susan Horsburgh, and it's entitled A Family Legacy. Three generations of the ward men and women have heeded the call to serve their country, bound by a powerful sense of honour, courage and sacrifice. Perhaps I mightn't like this thing if it goes too jingoistic. Stephen Ward's fate was decidedly by a ball drawn bingo style out of the barrel in the spring of 1970. He didn't know he'd been conscripted in the birthday ballot until he came home from work to find his girlfriend crying and his parents sitting stony-faced on the sofa. A 19-year-old apprentice carpenter with hair past his shoulder, Stephen was told he'd been called up for the National Service. He was bound for Vietnam, so he's a Nasho. There were three types of soldiers. There was professional army, the conscript army, and some citizens' military force, which is sort of an amateur militia. And I think there was around 250 shot from or died from the regular force in Vietnam, 250 from the Nashos, and one from the other type of army. Quote, my dad said, subquote, what are you going to do, in subquote, and I said, subquote, if I'm fit, I'll have to go, end quote, recalls Stephen. The memory is still vivid. Quote, Dad shook my hand and said, well done, mate, which has made me as proud as punch. I grew another 6 inches. I could see the look on his face. He was so proud that I was prepared to do my bit. Oh, dear. For Stephen, now 67, there was never any doubt. He believed that stopping the spread of communism was worthy cause, and his family had already set a powerful precedent. His grandmother, grandfather, and four great-uncles had all served in World War I, followed by both his parents in World War II, and Stephen was keen to accept the baton to carry on that. Oh, dear. Sounds rather sad for an overseas audience. Anzac spirit, sorry. In fact, he fought to be conscripted. When he turned up for the medical in northern New South Wales town of Armidale, his family doctor instantly gave him an out. He said, some of us don't believe in the war in Vietnam, so I can give you any complaint you want. High blood pressure, bad eyesight, said Stephen, who declined the offer. Later, he was rejected because of a childhood history of sleepwalking. And indeed, I must admit, that is a problem when you're out in the bush. You've got soldiers who sleepwalk. Amazing. Stephen and his mother submitted a statutory declaration stating he hadn't sleepwalked since he was 5 and wrote a letter to argue his case. He was finally called up on July 71. He spent 2.5 years in the Citizen Military Force, which is the CMF thing, in the 12th 16 Hunter River Lancers, after leaving school at 16 and slid happily back into military life. He was assigned a Royal Australian Corps of Transport and in 72 joined the 101 Transport Company in Sydney, where he did fuel and troop lifts and coordinated the transport office. So I don't think he's actually gone to Vietnam. His unit was waiting for a tour in Vietnam when Gough Whitlam, who'd promised to withdraw the troop, won the federal election in December 72, effectively abolishing national service. This was 51 days before the end of Stephen's 18-month commitment. From day one, you're taught how to defend yourself and the guy alongside you, and when you don't get a chance to put it into practice, said Stephen, who drove coaches and worked in hotels after his discharge. It sounds crazy, but even now, my mate, Blue, and I wish I'd been able to go away. We were 21 and bulletproof. Oh, dear. Stephen still counts his national service as one of the happiest times of his life, chiefly because of the camaraderie. You make special bonds with people, says Stephen, and as you had their hair cut and green uniform on, they were mates. It put us all in the same family. Mateship was always defined the Australian wartime experience. Stephen's grandfather, Jim Ward, and four of his brothers signed up during World War I, leaving the family dairy farm near New South Wales, town of Inverell. Quote, we were stockmen and grazers, all born on horses, basically, says Stephen. quote, it was the done thing that they would join up the light horse troop. Their widowed mother sent five precious sons off to war and could only wait anxious news. Four of them, including Jim, fought at Gallipoli and miraculously survived. Unfortunately, Gordon, who is known as Goni, went on to die of pneumonia in Palestine only 11 days before the armistice. Over the phone, Stephen's younger sister and family's historian, Cheryl Chand, reads a letter dated 22nd of November 1918 from the great uncle Alec to their pop. How did mother bear up when she heard that Goni's death? Read Cheryl, choking back the tears. It would have been sad news for her. Understated, his words capture the stoicism of generations that lost too many promising young lives. When Cheryl remembers their pop, she still sees the bucket of sawdust he kept by his chair. However many years after the war, he was still spitting up crap from his lungs from the mustard gas. Oh dear. That's what they would have gone through. There, Pop didn't much talk about his war days, and neither did his father Gordon, who was posted to Hiroshima as part of the occupation forces after the atomic bomb in World War II. He just shut up, recalled Cheryl. Dad was not interested in getting his medals. He wanted to join up, but when he saw there would have been horrendous. Their mother, Yvonne, who served in World War II, in the radar and anti-aircraft unit on the Australian Women's Army Service. In fact, basically everyone was in the army then. For Stephen, his extraordinary family history comes to mind every Anzac Day when he joins longtime mates Blue and Steve Short Ribs Davis, members of the Altamara RSL sub-branch, to march to the cemetery and catch up over a beer. That day, 25th of April, his pop's birthday, is a chance to reflect not only on his family but also on his friendships that have endured through almost five decades of life highs and lows. But when the reveal is played, it takes you back to the spirit of the Anzacs and the first landing on the 25th, says Stephen. It's very, very emotional and makes you think of your mates. When the ode is read, the amazing feeling to be part of the service but to also remember a family that's heard it so many times. Well, there you go. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.